I'm William O'Flaherty, and welcome to a special edition of All About Jack, a podcast feature of EssentialCSLewis.com. On the show today, I'm celebrating the 75th anniversary of the Screwtape Letters. In fact, the date this program is released is the exact day, 75 years ago, the first ever letter from Screwtape was published. The letters initially became available weekly in a small church magazine called The Guardian, beginning on May 2, 1941. In February of the following year, they came out in book form in the UK. Those in the United States had to wait until 1943 to see it published there. I thought a great way to commemorate this occasion would be by having a variety of people on the show to have them reflect on their reading of the Screwtape Letters. In addition to my own comments at the end, you'll hear from 10 different individuals shortly and mostly learn why they enjoyed the book that was Lewis's first claim to fame. At the time I'm releasing this show, three of the people you'll hear from have yet to be on my podcast before. Also, the first two comments are from other recordings that I'll credit the sources at the conclusion of the program. In fact, between the comments, I'm just announcing the names of who is about to speak, and we'll wait until the end to provide more details about each of the guests. Briefly, for those unaware, the Screwtape Letters is my personal favorite from Lewis. That's why I recently released a book that is a companion and study guide to it that I'll say a little more about after my 10 guests share their thoughts. First up, short comments from the late Dr. Bruce Edwards that actually provide background about how Lewis thought up the idea for the letters.
Lewis was sitting in church one day and got preoccupied with this thinking about temptation he was hearing in the sermon. And he began to think, what would the opposite of this experience be like? What if we were listening in not to a sermon from an agent of God, but overhearing the conversation between a senior devil and his apprentice? And that was sort of the birth of Screwtape, the idea. Lewis is always interested in reversals, of taking our ordinary expectations about how we should think about Christianity and flipping them upside down. He shares that with people like G.K. Chesterton and even J.R. Tolkien, his close friend. And the point is that if we could overhear what our enemies say about us, in this case, demonic enemies, it would shock us into a realization that we're really in a spiritual battle.
Dr. Jerry Root.
How does an inauthentic person begin to approximate authenticity? And I think it's by being honest about our inauthenticity. And when C.S. Lewis writes the Screwtape Letters, he holds up a mirror and allows us to see ourselves as we are and allows us to begin hungry to enter into that realm of authenticity where we see our great need, and it sends us questing for the one who can meet us at the place of our desperation. Lewis's remarks in the preface to the second printing of the Screwtape Letters would vector us in that direction. He said, "Some have paid me an undeserved compliment by supposing that my letters were the ripe fruit of many years' study of moral and ascetic theology. They forget that there is an equally reliable, though less creditable, way of learning how temptation works. My heart, I need no others, showeth me the wickedness of the ungodly." You have to appreciate the humility of that comment. And this comment actually underscores Lewis's excruciating honesty as he writes these letters, and also how painful it is to read them. At least that's my experience. I don't know if it's yours. For in the letters, Lewis holds up the mirror of what Tolkien called scorn and pity, which is always the mirror that should be held up to humankind. Scorn because of our fallenness, pity because of the dignity of having been made in the image of God, and yet so deficient in that area, yet hopeful because we can move towards growth in Christ when we acknowledge seriously our need and come to God, the place of grace.
Brenton Dickinson.
I've always been struck by something very particular about the Screwtape Letters. And I know most people will want to talk about the spiritual wisdom in the letters, and they'll want to talk about the creativity of the letters, and they'll want to talk about how individual ideas in the letters have struck them at different parts of their journey. And all those things are awesome. But what really grabs me about the Screwtape Letters is the surprise of them. The upside downness is what I call it. I know it's not a great word, but it's a word that grabs it for me. I love satire. I love especially British satire and Monty Python and some of the political satire that happens today. It has a kind of upside downness to it that really gets to the point of what the problem is or what the issue is. And Lewis has that upside downness, doesn't he? He looks at the whole question of what the spiritual life is upside down. He looks at the idea of goodness and badness, of strength and weakness. He looks at all those things with everything turned or tilted so that we see it from a different point of view. And there's something about this in the Screwtape Letters that I think is essential to the worldview that C.S. Lewis lived out. I think it's the like a child vision of the world. It's the being able to see things from another point of view that we see in the Sermon on the Mount. And that's what the Screwtape Letters does for me. It flips everything so that when I go into real life, I'm not just thinking about an individual idea that Screwtape had or an individual piece of Christian thought that Lewis works out, but I have a framework for looking at the entire world. So all the great discussions of power and politics and society and culture and family and neighborhoods and all the things that seem very important, when you flip them and you can just imagine what the other side of things are, I think this is the tool that the Screwtape Letters gives us. And that's really why I like them. And I think what's in it, the reason that C.S. Lewis was able to do that wasn't because he knew he was sort of adopting this particular perspective on, I don't know, theology or something. I think he did it because it's funny. I think that's what humor is. I think that humor is the surprise. I think that humor is the unexpected, the disjointed, the disconnected, the thing that we're waiting for and yet happens or doesn't happen the way that we expect it to happen or not happen. And that's where Screwtape grabs us. It pulls the tablecloth from beneath the teacups of our ideas. And that's why I love the Screwtape Letters and still read them now 75 years after they were first printed.
Andrew Lazo.
Well, I'm grateful to have you ask about my experience with the Screwtape Letters. It was one of the first books that I ever started collecting. I got one of those great red dust jackets with the handwritten pen and ink drawing of the demon Screwtape on the back, and that set me off on collecting C.S. Lewis. The Screwtape Letters appears, three dozen times in My Mere Christians. Many folks found that the very first entree to C.S. Lewis. Mine was Narnia, but Screwtape quickly came in, and the wisdom and the acerbic wit that Lewis demonstrates in writing that book captivated me, and the wisdom that he has, the frameworks, the systems even, continue to help me conceive of myself as a man, and I use Screwtape in my teaching all the time. One of my favorites is his quote where he says to Screwtape, encourages Wormwood to think of your man as a series of concentric circles, his will being the innermost, his intellect coming next, and finally his fantasy. And I found that very true, that all the virtue should be pushed out to the fantasy, the circle of fantasy, according to Screwtape. And until something comes from fantasy, goes from dreaming aspiration into laborious doing, until it goes from a fantasy, and then I decide with my intellect that I want to do something about it, and then when it touches my will, that's when things finally get done. I was fascinated last summer when I had a chance to peruse the Berg collection. The actual 97-page manuscript of Screwtape is there in New York City at the New York Public Library. Originally, Lewis said think of your man as concentric circles, his will being the innermost, his emotions coming next, then his intellect, and finally his fantasy. And that's something that your listeners may not know. I certainly didn't know until I saw it written there right in his handwriting. So somehow, for some reason, he detached the emotions and just left the series of three. I think it's a good detachment, and I'm looking forward to a scholarly paper about Lewis and emotion. Mostly, though, I think that the ideas that Lewis captures really offer a wry view and turn things upside down. And this upside down in order to see things right side up has been really influential on me as I have done my work Until We Have Faces. It's this kind of opposite mirror that holds up to me. And I find every year when I teach it with my students or teach it for a church, it's a great glance into the mirror that I need. I love the way Lewis looked so deeply into his mirror and saw the wry truths about himself. And so Screwtape is a prize to me.
Kristen Ditchville.
I think The Screwtape Letters was probably the first book by C.S. Lewis I read after The Chronicles of Narnia. I'd read various quotes in different devotional books and different things, but the first full book that I read, and I was just arrested by the second sentence where Lewis says, "There are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about the devils. One is to disbelieve in their existence. The other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. They themselves are equally pleased by both errors." You know, I've never forgotten that sentence. It's just been something that I've thought about many times. You know, I'm a student of biblical theology. That's my field. And as I've studied church history, as I've looked at how different denominations have come about, as I follow different trends in the church over the years, I've thought about how often there's been imbalance in so many areas, how we fail to acknowledge a reality or a truth or a crisis, or how we focused excessively on it and how many problems that's created for us in the body of Christ. And so many times Lewis's words have come back to me. I've thought about it in my own life as far as spiritual warfare, and I think probably far more of us are likely to neglect spiritual warfare, to neglect the spiritual battles raging all around us, to be too distracted or to disbelieve than to have an unhealthy interest. But as Lewis points out, either way, that imbalance can be dangerous. And, you know, I've reread Screwtape Letters over and over, probably four or five times in my life in different decades. And every time that I come back to it, I'm in a different season in my life. I'm in a different age, a different place, and different parts of it resonate with me. I always appreciate the humor. I always appreciate the skill with which it's written. And, you know, Lewis is just such a master. But different parts of the story, different parts of the truth, the temptations that he talks about resonate with me on a different level because I'm a different woman. I'm growing and changing. I'm facing different things in my life. And there are different things that speak to me. And it's such a profound work. I'm just always struck by new truth. And God uses it so many times to speak into my life. I can always pick it up and flip through it and open to a paragraph. And there'll be something that speaks to a battle that I am facing today or that a friend of mine is facing. And there'll be something that I can use to encourage them. And very often it prompts me to prayer. It encourages me to get back on my knees, to get back to fighting the real enemy, not my neighbor, not my friend, not my coworker, you know, not that annoying person online that keeps getting my goat, but to fight the real enemy and to stand strong and to keep my focus. And, you know, I'm forever indebted to Lewis for the wonderful work that he's done and to the God who inspired him.
Reverend Dr. Bruce R. Johnson.
I first read the Screwtape Letters when I was 16 years old, and it made quite an impression on me as a young man because of the depth of spiritual advice, really good spiritual advice that Lewis offers there. He does it in an imaginative way which makes it compelling. He sets up a scenario in which there is a real spiritual battle against light and dark, against good and evil. And of course, there really is in the spiritual world. But Lewis is good at imaginatively connecting us with the reality of that next world, that spiritual world. And the work holds up. You know, it's 75 years after it was produced. And it's still remarkably helpful as you read it. Lewis teaches us to be attentive to what's going on internally, spiritually in our lives. And I've always appreciated that about the work. As I reflect on that now, it's remarkable to think that it was composed largely or perhaps entirely during the Battle of Britain, while the Luftwaffe and the Royal Air Force were battling for the skies, Lewis talks about the spiritual battle in the heavenlies. And that is compelling when you think about how is Lewis working out some of the angst in terms of his own soul, but also the angst about his nation. He begins the Screwtape Letters while his brother is still just barely back from the evacuation of the British Expeditionary Force in France. So it was a very, very tense time. They didn't know what the future held. But Lewis takes this eternal view in the Screwtape Letters. And that's, I think, a significant thing for us to do in the 21st century when so much is unsettled around the world. To remember that spiritual view, there's a bigger victory that looms out there that Christ has already won for us.
Mark Wallace McGuire.
It's hard to believe that it's been 75 years since the Screwtape Letters first letter was published. In a lot of ways, I think this is C.S. Lewis's best book. And I know that probably strikes a lot of scholars and readers as strange. You have the glory and the imagination of Narnia, and then you have the heavy philosophical and theological issues he wrestles with and the problem of pain and mere Christianity. But I think Screwtape is unique. It's unique for three main reasons. Number one is it's accessible. Yes, the problem of pain, it's a beautiful piece of work, and it deals with very serious issues. But for your, quote, average reader, engaging in that kind of deep thought is something you really have to prepare oneself for. Screwtape doesn't do that. You can pick it up, and once you get into the, quote, reverse theology world of it, you're very easily immersed into that world. And that accessibility, I think, is easy for a layman or for a learned theologian. Secondly, there's the creativity aspect of it, the sheer imagination. Now, yes, Narnia, the space trilogy, great imaginative worlds Lewis created. But to take this world we see in front of us and to go to the other side, per se, to the devil's bedroom and write from that perspective, not only write from it, but to invent characters like Toadpipe, or to talk about the High Command or our philological unit, things like that, it really took a special type of view on it, a special perspective that he created. And it's amazing that way. You know, he always talked about how he felt dirty after he wrote the book. And I can see that because he goes so deep into how the enemy perceives us. And, you know, thirdly, I think, and most importantly on Screwtape Letters, is the fact that it is cruelly beautiful. And what do I mean by that? It is a book that will pierce your soul, because when you hold up the mirror to yourself, this is one of those books that shows you all your imperfections, and it will cut you to the bone. I mean that in a positive way. It shows you, sometimes sympathetically, most of the times not, your faults, how you respond to the faults of others and how that brings out faults in you, among many other things, including everything from nationalism to materialism to the way someone eats their food, and that gets on your nerves. I'm across the spectrum, but it's very succinct. It's very driving, and it's very cutting in the way it slices through the jargon of theology and gets straight to the point of reality, per se, of morality. And I think those three things are what really make the Screwtape Letters, if not C.S. Lewis's best work, one of his best works.
Dr. Don King.
Well, I think that one of the first books I read by C.S. Lewis was probably the Screwtape Letters. I probably did the Narnia stories before that, but regardless, Screwtape has always been a special book to me. I think it's because of its spiritual insights. I tend to think of the Screwtape Letters as an anti-devotional. And by that, I mean there are a lot of devotional works on the market. But I think what Lewis does with the Screwtape Letters is give us an anti-devotional, since he's looking at the psychology of temptation from the other side. But for me, as an anti-devotional, Screwtape Letters is pretty darn effective. I think Lewis gives us great insight into how the evil one works at us through the character of Screwtape. Screwtape, he writes not with a sledgehammer, but with a stiletto. And his lucid and diabolical epistles offers pretty insightful and disturbing insights into the nature of temptation, at least the nature of temptation in my own life. So, again, using this comparison to some devotionals we read today are sort of glib and they're kind of prepackaged and have a lot of spiritual truisms. But in this anti-devotional, Lewis gives us a pretty good spiritual backhand. And at least to me, the backhands are painful and a bit unnerving. But I find in this work, Screwtape Letters, some fascinating insights into the psychology of temptation. And they're a lot more nourishing to me than some of the devotional works that we kind of run across today. So I think in Screwtape Letters, Lewis makes us take a serious stock of our spiritual lives. And I always come away from reading Screwtape Letters, and I probably read it at least every other year. I always come away from it realizing anew the many areas in my life that are really, they're pretty weak in terms of my spiritual life. And the other thing I'll say about Screwtape Letters, it's the only book of Lewis's, at least currently, where I've actually read the cover off of the book. And I no longer, it's a paperback copy, and so the paperback copies no longer are attached to the rest of the text. So if rereading a book until its cover falls off is any kind of measure of how much a book means to one, then obviously Screwtape Letters is probably the most important book for me personally in terms of Lewis's writings.
Dr. Crystal Hurd.
The Screwtape Letters is an intriguing look into essentially the devil's notebook. It's like stealing the playbook for the opposing team and learning all of their techniques. What I love so much about Lewis's work is that it isn't fluffy or stilted or cliched. It's actually born of a true understanding of the Bible and biblical wisdom, not a fleeting encounter with Christian subculture. I've read other works which attempt to speak from the devil's point of view. Most of them aren't nuanced or researched. They characterize the devil as a sort of cheeky antagonist, the kind who twirls his mustache and ties women to railroad tracks. No, Lewis took a more comprehensive view, very similar to Milton in Paradise Lost. You know, Milton was criticized for Paradise Lost. He was accused of rousing sympathy for the devil, which what he actually was giving us is a more complete view of spiritual warfare and origin, which always presents us with a more complicated issue than what most conventionally Christian literature suggests. So Lewis, like Milton, was also criticized, but also like Milton, he was providing us with the key to most modern spiritual conflict, which happens many times in the battlefield of the mind and in interactions with others. I think everyone needs to read the Screwtape Letters. For those who don't choose faith, it's a marvelous investigation of oppositional thinking, of exploring the other side. For those with faith, it's a mirror which reflects to us the truths about our behavior and prompts us to change and be better people.
Sandy Smith.
Well, it's several years since I first read C.S. Lewis's The Screwtape Letters. And to me, one of the things that Lewis's book reminds me of is the fact that each one of us is involved in a battle. And lots of times when I meet folk and we're talking about conflict areas throughout our world, but Lewis's book reminds me that within every human heart, there is a warfare taking place. And the fact is that most of us have been lulled into some false sense of security that there are regions of the world where there are battles taking place and we're unaware, blissfully unaware of the battle that's taking place for our own hearts and minds. And every time that I go back to read Lewis's book, it reminds me very graphically that that is the case. And I think that that's one of the reasons why we should read it. Not only read it, but read it again. One of the interesting things I read recently in Lewis, not in Screwtape Letters, but in one of his essays on stories, is the fact that he expresses his amazement that someone could express an interest in a book or say that they enjoyed a book, and then Lewis says he discovers that they only read the book once, and he wonders how anyone could say that they really enjoyed a book if they never went back to read it again. So I'm really making a big appeal for those folk who have read Screwtape Letters to read it again. I have read some of the pages of Screwtape Letters again, and one of the things that really strikes me about it is how relevant to today Lewis's Screwtape Letters really are. And there's one little line in it where Lewis is talking about the fact that Screwtape is advising never to let the patient get involved in argument, because he feels that argument can be conducted very satisfactorily from both sides and from Screwtape's perspective, from the enemy side. And he keeps saying, don't let the patient think of doctrines as true or false. But he, Lewis, gives us other words that we should use to describe things, such as academic or practical or outworn or contemporary. In Lewis's time, one of the big battles was with materialism, and he's making an appeal not to engage the client and the patient in the discussion of whether or not materialism is true. He says, make him think that it is strong or stark or courageous, or that it is a philosophy of the future. One of the other things that I really like in Lewis's letters are the way he makes such shrewd observations on the things that can distract the patient, as Lewis puts it in his Screwtape Letters, and how easily we are distracted by the things that we call real things, but they are in reality quite trivial. I love the way he has cast the figure of the person who, in Screwtape's terms, is a very safe and secure atheist, and who is sitting, Lewis paints a picture of him sitting in the British Museum among his books, and suddenly some real thought comes into his head, to which Screwtape needs to divert him, and he's diverted by the fact that he simply feels hungry, and the hungry propels him to leave the British Museum, to go out into the high street, where he is confronted by a boy selling a newspaper and a number 73 bus, and the ordinary things of life divert him from the realities. So for any folk who haven't read the Screwtape Letters at all, I would really encourage them to go read it and relish the humour that's in Screwtape Letters, the skill of the observation, and if you have read it, then take Lewis's advice, and if there's a good book that you've enjoyed, read it again. I can thoroughly commend a reading or a rereading of Lewis's The Screwtape Letters.
I'm not sure I can really add much more to what's already been said by my guest today. As I noted at the start of the show today, The Screwtape Letters is my favorite among the many books Lewis wrote. The insightfulness found in them is very deep, even though in many ways it is a humorous book. I won't bore you with a lot of details about my recently released title called C.S. Lewis Goes to Hell, A Companion and Study Guide to the Screwtape Letters. You can follow the link in the show notes to either download a free 20-page sample or check out the book preview on Amazon to learn more complete information. I'll also have a link to a recent talk that I did related to the book. I will point out that my approach is more comprehensive in my book than any previously released material. I cover the follow-up essay, provide suggested answers to study questions, and among other things, have a unique topical glossary to give you an at-a-glance summary of the various topics Screwtape covers. Now for more details about who you heard from today. The first person was the late Dr. Bruce Edwards, respected C.S. Lewis scholar. His comments came from a DVD entitled Affectionately Yours, Screwtape, produced by Ensign Media. Dr. Jerry Root was heard next. He's a professor at Wheaton College and the author of many Lewis-related books, including co-authoring the recently released The Surprising Imagination of C.S. Lewis. His comments came from the first of several videos available for free online produced by the C.S. Lewis Institute. There's a link in the show notes about how to watch them. After Jerry was Brenton Dickinson. He is a university lecturer from Canada, and he heads up the website A Pilgrim in Narnia. Next, you heard from Andrew Lazo, co-editor of Mere Christians, and editor of Early Prose Joy, a previously unknown first autobiography by C.S. Lewis. His website is andrewlazo.com. Christian Ditchfield was after Andrew. She is a popular speaker, syndicated radio host of the show Take It to Heart, and author of A Family Guide to Narnia, among other books. Her website is christianditchfield.com, and for this website and all the others mentioned, there's a link in the show notes. The Reverend Dr. Bruce R. Johnson was next. He's the general editor of Zanesook, the C.S. Lewis Journal, a scholarly publication from the Arizona C.S. Lewis Society. There's a link in the show notes to it. After Bruce was Mark Wallace McGuire, writer, journalist, and musician from the metro Atlanta area. Learn more about him at markwallacemcguire.com. Dr. Don King followed Mark. He is professor of English from Montreat College and editor of The Collected Poems of C.S. Lewis, a critical edition, among many other titles. After Don was Dr. Crystal Hurd, an educator from Virginia, and author of 30 Days with C.S. Lewis, a woman's devotional. Her website is crystalhurd.com. Finally, you heard from Sandy Smith, author of C.S. Lewis and the Island of His Birth. Sandy also organizes C.S. Lewis Festival, an annual event in Belfast, Ireland. You can follow a link in the show notes to learn more about it. Well, thanks for listening again to this special edition of All About Jack, a podcast feature of EssentialCSLewis.com. You can find those show notes either at EssentialCSLewis.com or allaboutjack.podbean.com. The Podbean location is where the podcast is most easily found. Again, that's allaboutjack.podbean.com. The other location, EssentialCSLewis.com, provides link back to where the audio files are located, among other features.